preach in there for a little while. Nothing wrong with that. Again, Romans 1, verse 32, we began looking at last week. And again, this follows the mentioning of 23, consequences of the reprobate mind, there in verses 29 through verse 31. And what we really have here in verse 32 is the attitude behind what is mentioned in verses 29 through 31. It is a certain attitude toward sin, toward the things that are mentioned. And again, this is being filled with. This is something that is intensifying as we go. So let's read verse 32 again. Who, referring to those described by the characteristics mentioned, knowing, that is, they have an acquaintance with the judgment or the ordinance or sentiments of God, they which do such things, again, the things mentioned in verses 29 through 31, are worthy of death. That is, they know there's a part of them that knows these things are displeasing to God. There's a part of them that knows these things are worthy of the judgment of God. But they continue on, not only do the same, that is, they participate, knowing this, they just participate in these things. And not only that, but they have pleasure in them that do them. So what we see here is a people, by way of review, do not care. They are not concerned with what pleases God or displeases God. You talk to people today and you say, you know, that doesn't please the Lord. They don't care. That doesn't bother them in the least. And they find delight in that which is sinful. They approve of that which is sinful. And they even take that to the extent where they disapprove of that which is right. And they encourage others in the same way of life. So really what it is here is an obsession, a fascination with that which is sinful. And we said last week there are really two matters being presented here, referring to an attitude toward sin. And we looked last week, again, knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, they do the same. And it's speaking of presumptuous sins, that is, they sin willfully. They sin willfully. It is a sin of deliberation. It is a sin of intent and sin of premeditation. It means that they're very brazen in their sin. They're overconfident because God doesn't send immediate judgment. They're overconfident. And they become arrogant in their sinful ways. They become proud. They become bold and very forward, as we saw last week. This is what is meant by presumptuous sins. But the second matter being dealt with is not only do they sin willfully, but they have pleasure. They have pleasure in sin. Notice what it says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They flock together. They flock together. They have pleasure in them that do them, that do the things that are mentioned. They stay together. They have a fellowship amongst themselves, if you will. They relish, they find gratification, they find satisfaction, they find excitement in that which is listed in verses 29 through 31. They love these things. They live for these things. They live for the very things that bring the wrath of God. There is a tolerance for these things. They approve. There's an acceptance. They accept one another. Be careful who you accept. Be careful what you accept. There's an acceptance. There's an accommodating. They make accommodations for the things mentioned in verses 29 through 31. They embrace these things. They embrace that which is an abomination to God. So what is said in verse 32, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, is spoken of in other places as well. Over in Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs 17, verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, the two seem to go together most of the time. If there's a justification of the wicked, there's usually a condemnation of the just. So there is a justification of that which is wrong. And there is a condemning of the just. Even they both, that is, those who justify the wicked, those who condemn the just, our abomination to the Lord. And that's what's going on in Proverbs, or in Romans 1, verse 32. Notice in Proverbs 24, Proverbs 24, verse 24, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous. You may not use those exact words, but you say, well, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. Well, that's what you're saying. They're righteous. Others may not approve, but don't worry about that. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. Thou art righteous. Him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. There's consequences. Proverbs 28, verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. So what we do can justify the wicked, condemn the righteous. If we disobey God's commands, then we're aligning ourselves with the wicked, and in a sense, praising, approving of the wicked. When a child of God says, well, everybody else is doing it, that's what they're doing. They're justifying the wicked to justify their own behavior. And in reality, they're praising the wicked. And when we obey God's law, that's why you don't have to say anything. All you have to do is do what's right. And people begin to feel guilty, and people will stop asking you to come around. We've said many times, for the most part, you don't have to separate from the wicked. You just live right, they'll separate from you. And that's what this verse is telling us. You keep the law, you contend with them. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to rebuke them verbally, but I'm telling you, you just do what's right, and they won't stay. They don't really like being around you. And you won't have to go to them and say, you know what, I can't spend time with you anymore. They'll make that decision for you if you just do what's right. In Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good. That's what they're doing in Romans 1:32. Woe unto them that call evil good. Listen to politicians today. Listen to celebrities today. What are they doing? They're calling evil good. And good evil. It's a sad day when doing right becomes wrong. And that's where we are. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. In other words, they're totally confused. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what's going on in Romans 1:32. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel 13, verse 22. Ezekiel 13:22, because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked. Be careful that you do not strengthen the hands of the wicked. Sometimes keeping silence, that's what you're doing. A lot of people, your silence, they take that as approval. They take that as approval. Be careful that you don't strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? And then he answers the question. When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? When we commend the wicked, we weary the Lord. When we say, well, if I was doing wrong, God would punish me, and he hasn't, so obviously I'm not doing anything wrong. That's what is meant there, where is the God of judgment? That's a wearisome thing to the Lord. So Romans 1:32, we see immorality is exalted. Biblical values are mocked. And that's where we are today. That's where we are today. What we see in Romans 1:29-32 is the act of sin advancing. Sin always progresses. Again, it's good to know the nature of things. It's good to know human nature, because human nature will do what human nature does. You can predict behaviors. It's good to know the nature of sin, because you can follow the progression. So you start off with the act of sin. Romans 1:32, that is now advanced to a delight in sin, being full of. It advances to a repetition of sin, being full of, advancing to an indulgence in sin, which of course is the habit and custom of sin. And you just see this progression all through the Word of God. And we see it playing out before us. So what we have here is a people that are distorted, a people that are corrupt in their thought process. They are corrupt in their views. They are corrupt in their acts, what they do. And again, so much so that it becomes commonplace. So much so that it becomes an epidemic. And the result of all that is you have a society that is mired in and saturated with and in the stranglehold of all kinds of things. Humanism, secularism, pluralism. Again, getting back to humanism, you don't have to listen too long to a politician, to Hollywood, to almost anybody. Listen to them talk. They're coming from a humanistic viewpoint. They're in the stranglehold of humanism. And we see here that when these things progress, society just lives under the perverted narration of these things. They live under the lies of these things. They live under the control and the manipulation of the philosophies and the ideas of sin. It is a society that is twisted. It is a society that is perverted and in their own erroneous beliefs and in their feelings and their attitudes. And it ends up that they are offended by God. They are offended by that which is right. So ours is a society that is described in Romans chapter 1. And it is a society that is being prepared for the reign of the Antichrist. You and I that are saved, we will not be here, but this society will be. And they are being prepared for the reign of the Antichrist. I don't know who the Antichrist is, and neither do you, neither does anyone else. I don't even believe the Antichrist knows who he is. But I do believe that he's alive today. And he's about to take center stage, and society is being prepared. So what we have here in Romans chapter 1, the subject, again, is the wrath of God. The abandoning wrath of God. Again, there are different aspects of God's wrath, and what's being dealt with here is the abandoning wrath of God. And what that results in is a downward spiral away from God. And we see this very clearly in Romans chapter 1. In verse 19 and verse 21, you have the words, because. Because. Verse 24, you have the word, wherefore. Verse 26, you have the words, for this cause. All those words state this, all those words and phrases state the same thing. That is, there is a progression here, there is a spiral. One thing leads to another. And what we've seen in verses 19 through 21, it begins with a rejection of God. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They rejected God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. So it begins with a rejection of God. And then that leads to vanity. They became vain in their imaginations. Rejecting God, they became vain in their imaginations. That is, they became futile and wasteful in their minds. They became vain. And then this leads to spiritual blindness. And in addition to being vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart. Their heart is foolish because they've rejected God. Their heart is foolish because they're vain. And now their foolish heart was darkened. So you have a rejection of God leading to a vanity of mind, leading to spiritual blindness. They no longer can see. They're blind. And this leads to self-deception and ignorance. Notice verse 22. professing themselves to be wise. Man thinks that he's smarter than anyone that's ever lived on the face of the earth. Man actually believes that they're smarter, this is the smartest people that's ever lived. How sad. How bad does that make past history? I believe Noah. Can you imagine the intelligence of that man? I mean, that wasn't an ignorant society. And society has not progressed in their knowledge. I mean, they've progressed in things they know of, perhaps. But there is a self-deception and ignorance that is off the charts. Professing themselves to be wise, they became. They became. That is, they pass from, when you become something, you pass from one state to another. They actually passed from wisdom to fools. So you have this rejection of God leading to vanity, leading to spiritual blindness, leading to deception and ignorance, and all that leads to a replacement of God. Verse 23, and changed. In their foolishness and in their professed wisdom, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. They bring God down to man, and eventually they bring God down even below man. Verse 25, who changed? Twice we see that phrase. Who changed? They changed their image of God. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Professing themselves to be wise, their ways are better than God's ways. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. Worshiped and served man. Good without God, the humanist motto. Good without God. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And then you come to, for this cause. So their replacement of God, here's what happens next. Life loses its real meaning. You replace God, life loses its real meaning. And you see that in verses 26 and 28. For this cause God gave them up on the vile affections. Women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also of the men. And even as they did not, in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind. Life has lost its meaning. How sad. And then the last thing you come to, verses 29 through 32, the end result of all of this is a drowning in sin. So Romans 1 is a very apt picture of our society. Now, next we want to, many may think, phew, we finally got through that. Well, we haven't yet. Because what we're going to do is back up to verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What you have there is the remedy, the only remedy for this society. There's only one remedy, and that's the gospel. That's Christ. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.